Well, welcome to another broadcast of Transforming Grace. This broadcast is brought to you by the Institute for Biblical Preaching in Canada. My name is Roger Pasco, and we dedicate these messages to the praise of God's glorious grace. We're confident that God's Word will not return to Him void, but will accomplish His purposes in your life. We're studying through the Gospel of John, and we're going to continue with that today in John's Gospel, chapter 13, as we continue from last time to look at the account of Jesus' conversation and actions among the disciples in the upper room just immediately prior to his betrayal and his trial and his crucifixion. So before we begin again today, let's pray together. Lord, thank you for another day. Thank you for your grace and goodness to us in our lives. Thank you for that grace that reached down to us in all of our need and provided your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the work of the cross, for all that you've accomplished on our behalf, bringing us into reconciliation with God. I pray today that as we study your word again, that your Holy Spirit would apply it to our lives and change us to be the people that you want us to be and who are effective in witnessing for you in the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, then, we're in the 13th chapter of John. We're continuing to look at these significant dialogues that Jesus had as John recorded them in his gospel, and we're enjoying looking at the dialogue that Jesus had with his disciples in the upper room. This was immediately before the feast of the Passover, and in fact they are eating the Passover together, and it's at that time that Jesus instructs them and shows them how they should remember him after he has died and risen and gone back to heaven in what we call the Lord's Supper. Not only did Jesus give them the pattern for remembering him after his ascension, but he sets before them the pattern for living together as a body of believers. And so here we are in this, what we call the upper room scene, where Jesus is gathered together with his 12 disciples, and we learn three components to this marvelous lesson that Jesus teaches us on servanthood. The first component is that we must understand the basis of true servanthood. And we looked at that and began to look at that the last time. We saw that the basis of true servanthood is the confidence that comes from the knowledge of where we are going, how we're getting there, the confidence in the knowledge of who we are before God and how we fit into God's program in the world. And we come today to the knowledge of where we have come from and why we're here. So this is the first component of the lesson on servanthood, is that we must understand the basis of true servanthood. And the basis is the confidence that comes from knowledge. And so we saw that the knowledge of where we're going and how we're getting there was what undergirded Jesus' confidence as he faced the cross and as he went forward. He knew that his hour had come, the hour when he must go to the cross and bear the sins of the world and fulfill God's plan of salvation. He knew that his hour had come, and that after that he would depart from this world to go to the Father. And it was that all that lay before him, and the reunion with his Father in heaven, that was the confidence with which he could endure the cross and all that that entailed. And then there's the knowledge of who we are and how we fit in. And Jesus certainly knew who he was and how he fit into God's plans. He knew that the Father had given all things into his hands, verse 3 says. He was fully aware of his heavenly destiny and his appointed position of sovereign. He was fully aware that he was to be the Savior of the world, fully aware that this was his mission in the world. But he was also fully aware that he was Lord of lords and King of kings. And it was that confidence in the knowledge of who he was and how he fit into the God's eternal plans that enabled him to serve others in the way that he did. Well, in addition to the knowledge of where we're going and how we're getting there, and the knowledge of who we are in Christ and how we fit into God's plans, we also need the knowledge of where we have come from and why we're here. And so then let's just read the first three verses of John chapter 13 again, just to remind ourselves of the verses that we're studying together. Reading then from John chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. Those then are the first four verses. So you can see in the way that John has worded this that it is Jesus' knowledge of who he was, where he came from, and where he was going, that on the basis of that knowledge, that he had come from God and was going to God, that he rose from supper, and he carried out this lesson, this wonderful lesson, this parable that he acted out, if you will, concerning servanthood. So, like Jesus, we need to have the confidence that comes from the knowledge of where we've come from and why we're here. Jesus knew, verse 3 says, that he had come from God and was going to God. Jesus knew fully his heavenly origin. That's where he had come from heaven. He had come down from above. And he knew where he was returning. That was the place to which he was going. He was going back to heaven to be with God. As to where he had come from, he said in chapter 8 and verse 42, I proceeded forth and came from God. So that refers to his eternal preexistence, his eternal existence prior to his taking on human form and coming into the world. He said, I proceeded forth and came from God. He knew where he had come from and why he was here. In John 1, verse 1, John says this, This is he who in the beginning was with God and who was God. This is the one who enjoyed a glory with the Father before the world was, John 17 and verse 5 says. So it's quite clear that Jesus knew where he had come from and where he was returning. He said, I go to him who sent me, in John chapter 7, verse 33. He said in John 8, I am going away. Where I go, you cannot come. You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. That's verses 21 to 23 of John 8. So, you see, Jesus knew where he had come from, he knew why he was here, and he knew where he was going. Of course, we have those well-known verses in John chapter 14, when Jesus had told the disciples that he was going away, that he was going back to heaven, and they were troubled in their hearts. They couldn't believe that Jesus was leaving them. And he says to them, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then he goes on to describe the wonderful place that he's gone to prepare for us. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go you know, and the way you know. Then Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus was explaining to the disciples quite clearly there in John 14 where he was going, He knew where he had come from. He came forth from the Father, and he knew where he was going, and he knew what he had to accomplish, not only at the cross, but also what he had to accomplish upon returning to heaven. He had gone there to prepare a place for us. He was fully conscious then of his divine nature. He was fully conscious of his divine mission and what that mission entailed, namely, that the way back to God was by way of the cross. Well, Jesus' knowledge of who he was, where he came from, and where he was going, formed the basis for the certainty and confidence of his actions. Knowing that he had come from God and was going to God, what did he do? Did he flash his power? Did he try to impress people with his person, with his power? Did he show his majesty? Did he demand that others bow down before him and worship him? No. In the full consciousness of who he was, he took the position of a servant. That's what we're studying in this passage in the first 17 verses of John chapter 13. He took the position of a servant. You see, if it were us, if we knew about ourselves what Jesus knew about himself, if we were in his place and knew that we were had come from God and were destined to go back to God and that we were all powerful and there was none greater than ourselves, then I think we would have been trying to impress people with our power and our position and our person. We certainly wouldn't have stooped to the position of a servant, but Jesus, in the full knowledge of who he was, took that position of a lowly servant. Taking a servant's place was of no concern to him, because washing his disciples' feet didn't have any negative impact on his dignity. In other words, it didn't lower his self-esteem by becoming a servant. It didn't cause him to think less of himself or his mission by taking the lowest place in society. And we too derive our confidence for service from the knowledge of who we are in Christ, of where we're going, and what we mean to God, and where we fit into God's plans. Let me ask you today, do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know your position before God because of your salvation through and in Christ? Are you confident of your security before God because your sins have been washed away by the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross? Do you have the confident knowledge of who you are in Christ? Do you know where you're going? If you were to be taken out of this world today, do you know where you would be? Do you know the truth that to be absent from the body is to be present for the Lord? Now, that's only a truth that Christians know and understand and have the assurance of. Is that true in your life? Do you know that instant death in this world would be instant consciousness of the Lord's presence? That's a wonderful assurance for those of us who have been born again, those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. It's a wonderful assurance to know that no matter what happens to us in this world, we are secure in Christ. We have been reconciled to God by the blood of Christ. We have had our sins washed away. We are presented to God as pure because we're in Christ. He sees us that way, without sin, perfectly fitted for his presence. And we have the wonderful assurance that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We also have the wonderful assurance that if Jesus were to return today, he would take us to heaven. That's our destiny. That's where we're going. Do you have that assurance of who you are, where you're going, and what you mean to God? Do you know that you are God's beloved child? do you know that you're God's possession, because you've been purchased by the sacrifice of Christ at the cross. He paid the price in order to buy you back from the slave market of sin and to make you his own purchased possession. Do you know that? Do you have the assurance of it through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? There was a great preacher from England in the 19th century, a man by the name of George Whitefield. George Whitefield once asked someone, "What do you believe?" The man replied, "Well, I believe what my church believes." And he said, "What does your church believe?" "Well," the man said, "my church believes the same as me." "Well, what do you and your church believe?" And the man said, "We believe the same thing." Well, clearly, the man didn't know what he believed. He didn't have the confidence of knowledge that comes from knowing who you are in Christ, where we're going, and what you mean to God. Lack of knowledge, lack of confidence in God, can paralyze us. You see, pride rears its ugly head, and serving becomes too lowly for us. It's below our dignity. We don't want to stoop down to that position. Pride is an awful thing with which we all have to deal. And fear. Fear causes us to draw back. Fear says, "I can't do that. I'm not good enough for that." Well, you might remember the story of Elisha's servant. It's found in 2 Kings chapter 6. The situation was that the king of Syria was going to come and attack the people of Israel. Well, Elisha heard that they were coming to attack, and he notified the king of Israel. When the king of Syria found out that the king of Israel knew in advance that he was going to attack them, he wondered how he had found out. One of his servants told him that Elisha the prophet in Israel had told the king of Israel that the king of Syria was coming to attack the people of Israel. And so the king of Syria sent for Elisha. He wanted to bring Elisha to him, so he sent his servants with horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city where Elisha was. And it says in verse 15 of 2 Kings chapter 6, when the servant of the man of God, that is, when the servant of Elisha, arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots, and his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" He saw the king of Syria's army that had come to take them, and to take Elisha in particular, and he was struck with fear. What Elisha's servant did not see is all of the armies, all of the horses and chariots of fire that were all around Elisha that the Lord had provided to protect his servant. And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." That is, open the eyes of my servant so that he can see what the truth is, that we have far more on our side than are on the side of the Syrians. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You see, the point of the story is that Elisha's servant couldn't see the protective wall of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha until God opened his eyes. He was paralyzed with fear until his eyes were opened. And then he had confidence. Confidence in the knowledge of where we have come from, where we're going, and who we are in Christ is vital to proper servanthood. If you don't have that confidence, you probably won't stoop down to take the low place, because you don't see who you are in Christ. You don't have your confidence in God as to who you are before God. Rather, you would be looking to those around you to boost your self-esteem. You would be looking to your position in your society, in your town, or in your church in order to impress others. But you see, once we know who we are in God, what God has done for us in Christ, we don't need others to lift us up or to boost our self-worth, because all of our self-worth comes from who we are in God and what Christ has done for us. And so if you want to be a true servant of God, you need to have the confidence that comes from the knowledge of where we've come from. We've come from God. He created us. We are His creatures. We are His people. Where we're going to heaven by way of the cross, and we need to serve others as Jesus did, just as He did by way of the cross. He was the ultimate demonstration, the ultimate example of what it means to be a servant, even to the point of becoming obedient to death, the death of the cross. He gave His life in His service to us in order to redeem us. And so we need to know where we're going and how we're getting there. We're going to heaven by way of the cross, and the cross calls us to servanthood, to serve God, to take the low place, to serve others, to imitate the life of Christ. So we need that knowledge, where we've come from, where we're going, how we're getting there, and who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to carry out proper servanthood as He did. One preacher pointed out that servanthood does not mean that we feel ourselves in any way inferior. It doesn't make us like doormats on which other people step and wipe their shoes. They don't walk all over us. We're not like a mouse afflicted with a sense of fear and inferiority. That's not what servanthood is about. Rather, servanthood is about being accepted by God. The servant has accepted God's estimate of his life, and he knows he is as weak and helpless as God declares him to be, but at the same time he knows that he is in the sight of God of more importance than angels. In yourself, nothing, but in God, everything. That's the confidence that we need in order to serve God in a sacrificial way, just as the Lord Jesus Christ did. Well, I hope you understand from last time and from this time what we're trying to drive at in this message from these first three verses in John chapter 13. That just as Jesus carried out his sacrificial service to the disciples and to others on the basis of knowing that his hour had come, knowing that he was about to depart from this world to the Father, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, knowing that he had come from God and was going to God. You see, it's that knowledge that gave him the confidence to move forward and to do and accomplish and fulfill the mission for which God sent him into the world. And that's the knowledge that we need in order to serve God effectively in the world today. We need to know why we're here, where we come from, what God expects of us, who we are in our position before God, so that we can lay ourselves down as a sacrifice before God and serving others, seeking to imitate as best we can the life of Christ, as we honor God and serve the Lord here. Well, we're going to find three components in this lesson on servanthood in this chapter. The first that we've already studied and finished today is that we must understand the basis of true servanthood. The basis of true servanthood is the confidence that comes from knowledge. The knowledge of who we are, the knowledge of where we're going, and the knowledge of where we came from. The second component is that we must demonstrate the character of true servanthood, and we must imitate the nature of true servanthood. We're going to look at those things next time, Lord willing, when we're together on this station again. Thank you for being with us today. I hope that this little study together has been a help to you. I hope that you live your life in confidence before God, the confidence that comes from knowing that you are a child of God, you are beloved of God, you are God's redeemed possession, redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. You belong to God. The Lord Jesus has bought us with a price. We're not our own. We are His. And in the confidence of that knowledge that we belong to Him, that we are going to be with Him, then even now while we're here, we will serve him in the same way that he served others, by sacrificing our life for them, by being a servant to them so that they can see Christ in us. And we're going to talk more about this the next time when we're together. I hope that you'll be able to join me. Thank you for being with me today on this broadcast of Transforming Grace.